Thinking about climate change can be overwhelming. I mean, it is a global issue, but experts say not to let that stop you.
What better country than ours to lead with the innovation that we have made part of our national ethos for generations? That is who we are.
Today is Earth Day, so what should we be doing to preserve our planet? This is The Daily J. I'm Zach Clark. We did an episode earlier this year talking about how winter seems to be changing. It feels as if the season is shrinking, and usually we're pretty solid in the way we think about the four seasons. But should we be? I wonder if we need to either shrink, enlarge, or move meteorological seasons.
That's an interesting question, because if I'm a gardener, I might start prepping my plants at a time of the year just based on the last couple of weeks of weather, whereas if I'm thinking about it in a climatological sense, I might wait because I know a different set of dates could be influential in my decisions. So we have these kind of debates all the time of whether or not we should shift what we call a season. I don't see that happening, but it is a reminder. What we need to be doing is thinking about a bigger range of possibilities. So we have to be thinking about how do we prepare for and plan for and manage our social systems and our economic systems, our ecosystems for a more variable future.
That voice belongs to Melissa Widhelm, and she's the associate director at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at Purdue University. If you look back, the average temperature across the entirety of the 1970s in Michigan was 48.5 degrees. Back in Michigan in the 2010s, the average jumped to 51.5 degrees. The next voice you'll hear belongs to Chris Edwards. He spent years on Detroit television as a meteorologist and now works educating people on climate change.
Now, people might say, hey, 3 degrees is not that much. Think about how you feel when your temperature is 99 degrees. Maybe you're running a little bit of a fever. And then think about how you feel when it's 102. 3 degrees can be very significant. And in the case of the climate, it actually is.
I've never heard it put that way. And it's funny, I was going to ask you that question. Like, you know, I know that 3 degrees is a big deal, but that's a common refrain. People say, well, you know, gee, Chris, if it's 55 outside and now it's 58, like, who cares? But when you put it like that, the difference between 102 and 99 is it's incapacitating.
It is, though obviously our bodies as an organism are different than the Earth. The truth of the matter is that this warming, which may indeed seem modest, I get it, leads to a whole lot of other changes. It isn't just warmer air. It's things like heavier rain and heavier snow that leads to more flooding rain and a lot of other things that occur when you warm up the atmosphere.
The consequences of climate change here in Michigan run the spectrum, and you can see that by using two different events. Big picture, little picture here, there's a great race in the UP, a sled dog race, and they've not had it 2 years in a row. That's a bigger picture. I only went sledding with my son once this year. That is the more local picture, right? That's what I feel.
That's exactly right. And you would like to do those things that you had the opportunity and the privilege to do because they're fun and they are a part of tradition. And that's exactly right. We're going to see that here in Southeast Michigan. You're going to see it in Northern Michigan, the UP.
As I said earlier, it is Earth Day, a day meant for focusing energy on improving our planet. Michigan is the Great Lakes state, right? So it stands to reason that the Great Lakes are vitally important to us locally and to those around the world. But Chris says climate change is making the conditions of our lakes more volatile.
Those water levels are expected to go up and down much more quickly than they have in the past. And we've seen that just in the last few years. That's a huge hassle if you have a boat live right near one of the Great Lakes or on one of the Great Lakes. But Zach, the long-term trend, when we look at 30, 40, 50 years from now, the Great Lakes are probably going to be a pretty fair amount higher than what they are right now.
And that's something that everybody's got to think about, right? Because when we think about the Great Lakes and we think about what Michigan produces, if you want to use steel, you're going to have to get boats up and down from the UP. That's how steel is made with iron ore, right?
And here's another flip side of that. Some people say, well, you know, you can allow shipping to go longer in the winter because you don't have as much ice on the lakes. And that is true. Unfortunately, when you don't have as much ice on the lakes, it allows for different changes in our climate, which are really significant. It allows, for instance, for more bursts of very heavy lake effect snow squalls. You say, well, that's good for the winter industry. Well, unfortunately, it doesn't last very long because the burst of lake effect snow might drop 3, 4, 5 inches of snow in a brief period of time, but then it warms up and it all melts.
Chris said the long-term forecast for the lakes is to increase in volume. And in listening to Melissa, those aren't the only long-term consequences.
We need to be thinking about how a change in one part of our system ripples through all the other things that it affects. Because if we're talking about a warming temperature, if we're talking about a changing snowfall pattern, that goes beyond just how we sense it, how we feel about it. There's going to be impacts on businesses that have snow removal or recreation opportunities dependent on snow. There's going to be impacts on agriculture when you have diseases, weeds, pests that can survive in an area that they never used to be able to survive in. So we have lots of different ways that we can think through these impacts and how they sort of move through our different systems. Unfortunately, the net, the cast of that impact is really wide.
One of the things that makes climate change so daunting is that it's a global problem, but there is no concerted effort as a group to take on that problem. You know, America's a big producer, but, you know, we're doing X, Y, and Z. You know, we're trying to help a little bit. But then you look over and you look at India and China and you say, this isn't going to work if we're not all doing this together. Can we get on the same page globally?
India and China both have 1.4 billion people. That's a whole lot more people than we do. And they are producing a lot of greenhouse gas emissions. When we throw in the towel and act like children on the playground and say, well, why should we do anything if they're not going to do anything? Well, then unfortunately, that also sets a precedent around the world. And I'll add one other little thing. Last year in China, they put more solar energy on the grid in 1 year, 2023, than we have ever done in this country in our entire history. So do not think that those other countries don't recognize how serious this is, and they're doing a lot to make a difference.
More of the Daily J comes your way next. One of the things that I enjoyed about my chat with Chris was how inspired he was by the challenge in combating climate change. With a problem this large, most people just shrink. Not Chris.
What better country than ours to lead with the innovation that we have made part of our national ethos for generations? That is who we are. We are up to big challenges. What country was the one that got the space age really going and put a human being on the moon in less than 10 years of concerted effort? That would be our country. So we are best prepared to lead with those things that are part of who we are and by example.
I'm glad, Chris, you mentioned space, because as you were talking, I wrote down the JFK quote. We don't do this because it's easy. We do it because it is hard. That is the first thing that popped into my mind. And that's what he was talking about, was space. And so we can do these things. We did put that man on the moon.
Absolutely. He used that speech, and a great one it was, in 1962, in order to inspire us and to focus us. And that's what we need now, because in many ways, this is a bigger challenge than that was.
We know climate change is affecting us right here in Metro Detroit. So what can we do?
Over 70% of Americans are at least somewhat concerned about climate change. But unfortunately, less than a third of us ever talk to each other about it. And it can be as simple as talking with someone about what they've noticed that has changed in the weather and what they've thought about doing about it themselves. We need to talk about it in order to empower people, inform people, and begin the change that has to accelerate. Globally, 8% of all greenhouse gas emissions come from wasted food. So it can be as simple as something like not throwing away your leftovers, eating less meat and dairy, because production of those things takes a higher level of greenhouse gas emissions, eating local food so it doesn't have to be transported as far. They can join local groups, because when you surround yourself with other people that might have concerns but not know what to do, all of a sudden you get together and you have things that you can do together.
The biggest issue with climate change seems to be a not-my-problem attitude. Either we don't think it will affect us in our own lifetimes, or we just think that the challenge is too large, making a dent not even possible. Should we dust off that old Wayne Gretzky quote, "You miss all the shots you don't take"? So the only way to guarantee that climate change gets worse is by doing nothing. Today's big thanks go out to Melissa Widhelm and Chris Edwards. Check out WWJNewsRadio.com for the top local news stories on demand 24/7. I'm Zach Clark, and this is The Daily J. Thanks for listening.